Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Rusty,
welcome to Friday.
Our first season four Friday. Welcome to season four Friday.
Season four, that ain't right Friday.
That ain't right.
So you sent me an article.
I did, you know, and it's one of those things where a pop culture icon was created just by their appearance on a TV show, you know.
So,
Or reinvigorated.
Yeah, reinvigorated, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So this is all about Mr. Chuck Mangione.
Yeah, and it's pretty much about like his career and the significance of his career, and then being a top 10 hit, having a top 10 hit on the top 10 charts with mm-hmm. Flugelhorn.
Yeah, Flugelhorn. Yeah, crazy. So Chuck Mangione, I remember. So I was born in Taipei, Taiwan, and my dad had a bunch of vinyl, and it was all like bootleg vinyl. So most of the vinyl would be, I don't know, it'd be like orange or something, but you could see through it.
Yeah,
it was
some
weird,
wacky
right? Yeah,
and
wacky
stuff, yeah.
Pressed,
whatever
weird
plastic
stuff.
They had in Taiwan at the time,
exactly.
Available.
Yeah, and one of those was a Chuck Mangione album.
Oh, wow.
I remember we had some Elvis stuff. We had some, yeah. You know, some 60s, 70s kind of things, right? Because born in 69, so a little bit before that, a little bit after that, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I remember Chuck Mangione and Feel So Good from when I was a kid, you know? Because
you,
I would...
Are those still like, do they still exist or has that been thrown out in the trash?
I've got a lot of them, I believe, at my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great.
A couple of Christmases ago, I bought my dad another record player since they're back around,
you know.
Yeah,
they're huge right now.
And gave him back some of his albums because that is the cheapest gift you can give somebody is some of their own shit.
Yeah, cassette. So. You know, cassettes are like huge too. Like
yeah.
Taylor Swift
yeah.
has been releasing
oh, yeah.
cassettes. And
yeah.
Billie Eilish.
Yeah, Billie Eilish.
Or Eilish, or whatever you say.
Well, they're releasing it. She's releasing it under Billie Eilish.
Billie
you know,
Eilish.
On cassette.
Yeah.
Vinyl was always really cool to me, and I would use them when I was a little kid as playing disc jockey.
Yeah.
You know, I'd record stuff, and then I'd do my little disc jockey take in the middle of it, and then I'd record another one and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So from early days, I was doing this kind of ridiculous stuff. but Chuck Mangione is one of those guys that I just remember because of Feel So Good. Him and Herb Alpert. You've heard of Herb Alpert, haven't you? And the Tijuana Brass?
I've heard of Alpo dog food. Is it the same
no.
family? Is it the Alpert family?
But as a kid, I remember being a big fan of the Herb Alpert album because it had a naked woman covered in
dog food.
No. Covered in like whipped cream.
Oh, whipped cream. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. A young lad would appreciate
young lad does appreciate the album art of a
woman
Herb
covered
Alpert.
In whipped cream.
That's right.
Not Herb covered in whipped cream.
Not Herb. No, that wouldn't have sold
but
near as well.
A woman. Okay.
So in this article, they talk about a couple of things. One being the fact that King of the Hill did use guest stars quite a bit.
Yeah, they did use guest stars quite a bit. And that's another article that I was reading too, was kind of like Pamela Adlon. She was one of the first voice actors around that era to get like an Emmy for the voice acting part and be an actual voice actor, because a lot of Emmys that were being given out at that time frame were voice actors that were huge stars. You know what I mean? Like Mel Gibson got one for like Pocahontas or something.
Yeah.
Not an Emmy, but he got
right.
You
I
know,
understand what
whatever
you're saying, sure.
Accolades for it. So a lot of the accolades that were being given out to voice actors were like traditional actors that do voice acting. So, yeah, so that was one thing that I like about King of the Hill is the amount of guest stars that you get and the quality of guest stars. And
even if you count
the country music guys is what I like too. You get a lot of there's not very many shows where you have country music artists doing voiceovers on characters on TV mm-hmm, show because mm-hmm. He's had everybody on there, you know.
Yeah, you know, even you talk about people like Tom Petty. You know, Brittany Murphy was already kind of coming into her own.
Yeah.
A lot of these folks were already either stars or well on their way to being stars.
Yeah. If not already being it.
Tom Petty was huge at the time.
Tom Petty was huge. Well, another thing about Pamela Adlon, too, she was before she kind of broke King of the Hill, she was a child star. Pamela Adlon she's a child actress, and she was in that weird phase between being a child actress and figuring out the next stage of her life, and she was broke.
Right.
So she was like selling her vinyls to like pay bills and stuff like that.
Wow.
And so she then got the voice acting, started, you know, becoming a prolific voice actor like she is now, because she's voice acted a ton of stuff now.
So yeah, a little bit about Chuck Mangione from this article, and I believe this was
CBR, I think.
Was it CBR? Okay.
Yeah, cartoon book or comic books review or something, I think
it's
on the page.
They all kind of go together for me.
Yeah.
So Chuck Mangione came around with A.R.T. Blakely's band Jazz Messenger in the 1960s.
I've
he was
heard
just
of
his
that.
Backup. I haven't either. He was just his backup guy who played the flugelhorn, you know, and trumpet.
Yeah, yeah. So if any of you have any recommendations for flugelhorn player music that's not Chuck Mangione, you could email us at bwaaakoth@gmail.com.
You know, every time I you say flugelhorn, I always think of Master of the Pan Flute.
Yeah, well, I played Zamfir. Trumpet. Well, I played trumpet when I was in school.
Yeah.
I did it for like 3.5 years or so. But I still don't really know what the difference. I don't know what a flugelhorn.
Yeah.
I don't know what the significance or the difference is.
I have no clue what a flugelhorn difference is.
I don't know. No. I think it is a marching trumpet, maybe. Like
really?
Like a marching version of it. Because they have like marching versions of different instruments and stuff like that. And I think that might be like.
Yeah.
Like some brass instruments have specifically for marching, and then they have like the specific orchestra version of that instrument. You know what I mean?
Wow. Who knew? Because
like tubas are different for marchers than they are for people who aren't marching with them.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like they have different versions of
them?
They
have different versions of them. Like, well, I mean, because you got baritone, you got all like the different stages like that for almost every instrument and stuff like that. But they have like orchestra versions because, like some of them are designed a certain way. Like a sousaphone is like a tuba for marching. Is
for
Dr.
Seuss.
It is. For Dr.
Sure.
Seuss.
Sure.
Yeah, it's really wacky and colorful and rhymes.
It's got horns coming out that you don't even use.
Yeah,
it's
they
got
just
all kinds
randomly
of, yeah,
launch
sure.
stuff. Yeah,
okay, so he came around with Art Blakely's Jazz Messenger Band. 1977, he releases the song Feels So Good.
Oh, wow, 1977.
Yeah, 1977. Think about that for a second.
What a time to be alive. Wasn't that the gas price? Wasn't there like a...
77
like a
was pretty rough as far as gas. Yeah, we ran out of it. It peaked at number 4 on Billboard Hot 100, which,
that's,
holy crap,
that's insane.
For a jazz piece, which is what this is considered.
Yeah.
Top 4 is gigantic.
It's gigantic.
I mean,
well,
it's huge.
Yeah, especially since it's not 1940s. The thing that's cool, I think, about it is I think it might have just been like it was a little darker time, you know, recession, didn't have gas. OPEC was holding up on gas and all that stuff. I think it was like the nation might have just needed Feels So Good at that time. I think that's what it was. It was just like the environment was conducive to a song that felt so good.
Yeah.
To pass through like it did, because everybody needed to feel good. And oh, Chuck Mangione in 1977 helped the, you know, he helped everybody on the Billboard 100 feel good.
Well, he became so popular that he also had two of his pieces as the opening ceremony songs for the Olympics.
Wow.
One, Montreal, 1976, and the next one, Lake Placid, in 1980. So two Olympics in the aren't they every 4 years?
Four.
Yeah. So two in a row.
Well, I think they alternate. I think it's like, I think we get one
every two years, but it's
summer,
like
winter, summer, winter. Yeah.
And then he composed the theme to the 1981 movie, The Cannonball Run.
Oh, Cannonball Run.
Do you know Cannonball Run?
No, I don't. I don't know.
Burt Reynolds was the big one in it, and it was all about this race across the country between these weird characters and stuff. And yeah, so Cannonball Run was a big one. It was right after Smokey and the Bandit. So
So he was riding off that success.
Oh, yeah.
That was his big one though, right? That was like the. Well, that's not the one that like broke his career, but that was the one that kind of like revitalized that era of his career.
Well, I mean, this is 81, so you're
wasn't
talking
he
about
in the 60s. Didn't he like?
You're talking
Burt
about
Reynolds like from the 60s.
He started in the 60s, and this is all the way up to 81. Now he's doing the theme for Cannonball Run.
Oh wow!
So I mean, he's got a pretty damn good career at this point.
Yeah, established.
Part of his recognition, and you gotta imagine this is partially due to King of the Hill. He even exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's not something I knew about, because I stopped watching Marvel movies somewhere after Spider-Man in 1999.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
He at the beginning of Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange is playing Stump the Surgeon with his staff in the opening scenes, and one of the songs is Feel So Good that he plays.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to have to go find that, just that scene. Yeah. I'm sure somebody's isolated it already.
Dr. Strange names the tune without missing a beat and even expresses respect that Mangione charted a top 10 hit with a flugelhorn.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, that is cool.
So what other jazz musician can you think of that's been in all these universes? I mean, think about it. King of the Hill, he's been in the Olympics.
Not
he's been in Cannonball Run. He's been in Doctor Strange.
And I can't, well,
what a career.
I can think of a time where there was that many people in different universes. If you want to, if we want to explore that just for the sake of the conversation, Cab Calloway.
Yeah. Oh,
Cab Calloway was in, what is it? Blues Brothers.
Oh, that's right.
The Blues Brothers universe too. He's in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Blues Brothers.
Manny the Mocha. I love that scene. That is just an amazing scene. Even though he was old at that point, it's still just, I could see how electric it was to watch somebody like him on stage.
Oh my gosh.
A shout out to Cab Calloway on the animation thing too. So, like the animation that we watch on King of the Hill and stuff like that, how fluid all the human movements are.
Sure.
Whenever they were doing the rotoscope, where they were putting pretty much just tracing paper over live action, you know, video or film.
Mm-hmm.
Cab Calloway was the very first. He's the guy where he's really the animators chose him for the fluidity of motion, like the
really?
Schleichingers or whatever. Yeah.
Wow. So they used
Fleischer Studios. Sorry, Fleischer.
Yeah, Fleischer. They used him as kind of a stick figure or a dummy.
Yeah. So
or
the
whatever.
Ghost, the ghost that's doing like the black and white cartoon of the ghost, where he's, you know, kind of just walking with like a swagger, and he's kind of got Cab Calloway playing in the background. That's usually what the song is that they clip with it. So
So the thing I remember most about Chuck Mangione is not even his actual appearances on King of the Hill. It's mostly the cardboard stand-ups in the middle of the Megalomart.
Yeah, that's all. Shows up more than he actually shows up. Yeah, his appearances, and it'll even tell you in the show, on the show notes and stuff like that, the stuff that we get all of our research from, it'll say on there, Chuck Mangione, and then it'll say, but there's no speaking part for him. It's just him there. Like, he's in the background walking through the scene or something.
I just love the like the open sign on the door at Megalomart says, feels so good to be open, you know, or something like that. You know, it's just so stupid.
I love it. Yeah.
but all of it, and you know, we get Mangione throughout the entire series, just in these little spurts, you know, here's Chuck Mangione for dog food at Megalomart. Here's Chuck Mangione on the, the sign that says open. Here's Chuck Mangione after Megalomart blew up. He's on one of those big cardboard signs and it says feels so good to be reconstructing or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And then
remodel feels so good.
This remodel so good. And then it all kind of comes to a head. Season 7, episode 10, Megalodale.
Megalodale.
This is the one where Dale is brought in to get rid of raccoons or whatever's living in the Megalomart, eating all the stuff.
He finds out that it's Chuck Mangione living inside of the Walmart. Megalomart, sorry.
I don't know what's going on in a man's life where you've gotten to the point where you're a serious jazz musician, you're being kind of lampooned by this King of the Hills show, and then at some point you're like, "Ah, screw it, I'm living in there, and I'm this desperate guy."
It kind of parodies that movie with Natalie Portman where she has a kid in Walmart and she lives inside of Walmart for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And it probably came around. I think that episode would have probably came out after that movie aired because I think that movie came out like 01. So if you're in season 7, you're past 2001.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the series was always respectful to him, even though he was a little bit of a pain in the ass sometimes.
Think of the royalties.
Oh, my gosh.
Think of the royalties he still probably draws out of that on syndication.
Well, every time Peggy runs into the or in the kitchen humming feels so good while she's making, you know, ants on a log.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about royalties and syndicating programs in foreign countries. You know, there's people that are still making money off the Golden Girls somewhere. Sure. You know what I mean? Like
Chuck Mangione. He gets a check in the mail for 69 cents or something, you know, whatever.
It might be bigger than that.
Who knows, man? Because
I know that, what was it, Seinfeld in syndication?
Yeah.
That literally, they made more money in syndication than they ever made during the show's run.
Absolutely.
Well, you
think about Seinfeld, Friends, probably King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Simpsons. A lot of those shows that you can just find anywhere and turn on. The Office. The Office made more money in syndication than it ever made in a regular run.
Our friends out in California had Rainn Wilson on their show.
Did they really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Wow. Nicole was, she's the one that started his career. She broke him. She was his first big agent. Yeah. She was his first big agent.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the article kind of wraps up at the end here and says, that they hope that they can find a place for him in the new series.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that that's the case because I don't think it would be the same without him.
He's still alive, right? He's still around?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, even if he's not, they would definitely have to have some kind of tribute or something if he's not around anymore.
Yeah, I would think
I think I would know that if Chuck Mangione was dead. I would have you would have heard it through the grapevine by now. You know?
Feel it in your bones.
Yeah, I feel it in my bones. It's raining outside. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah, I believe he is still alive.
He'd be an elderly man at this point. I'm sure up in his 70s of maybe even in his 80s.
Yeah, if nothing else, they should at least give him a great send-off, you know, even if he's not. I am looking here to see.
Oh, no, he's still alive.
You see him?
Yeah, he was born in 1940, so he's up there. He's 82. He lives in...
Wow, 82.
Oh, he was born in Rochester. He doesn't live there. Never mind.
So say where he lives? Probably California, Hawaii.
Nah, it doesn't say nothing about it. But it does say that the series finale in 2009 included Chuck Mangione one last time, and he played the national anthem and segued into Feel So Good.
Yeah.
In an homage to the series, Mangione has an album called Everything for Love, and there's a track on there titled Peggy Hill.
Ah, that's great.
So I think on my way home from the studio right now, I'm going to be listening to Chuck Mangione's Everything for Love, Peggy Hill.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I think,
and I think that disc. When did that CD come out? Let's see.
That's wonderful to know, though. I just wrote that down because I want to try to get a copy of that.
Fantastic.
I guess this whole episode, we're basically saying how much we appreciate Chuck Mangione.
Yeah, being it's a Chuck Mangione tribute episode
in the series. And then how much we're looking forward to seeing him again in the new reboot.
I would love
reboot.
To see him. I would love to hear Feel So Good with Hank on screen.
Oh, heck
time,
yeah.
You know
heck
I mean?
Yeah, man. Anytime. I'll take that anytime.
And then I think what would be funny is if they started adding in more Chuck Mangione jokes inside of Megalomart, like standing in front of like the 4-ply paper, toilet paper.
Yeah.
Feel So Good.
Sure. <You know? laughs> sure.
Or by the beer aisle. Yeah. By Busch Light, it feels so good.
After two or three, it feels so good. Yeah.
Well, Busch Light, probably about six or seven.
That's true. Well, nobody's buying Bud, so.
Yeah, nobody's buying Bud right
now. Good job, Bush. Woo. Yeah, you stuck it out long enough, I guess.
Well, that's the thing is people stop buying Bud Light and just they're buying different Anheuser-Busch products
instead.
That's it.
That's what I'm saying.
They own all of all of piss beer that people like, all the American beer.
It's either that or Coors. You know, it's one or the other. So.
And Coors has a pride campaign, too. So,
sure.
You know, if you're basing your beer and on your political tastes.
Well, if you're basing anything
better tasting
on
beer.
The commercial stuff like that, like you know, if I'm basing whether I eat Papa John's pizza on whether I like Shaq or not, you know,
The lady that did the campaign at Bud Light got fired anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that whole company
blew up. You know, it dropped. They lost like so much in market share and everything.
And this is just my personal opinion that they took one giant leap rather than taking small steps.
Yeah, it was on that. You gotta know your audience.
That's true. Read the room.
You know, Truly did an ad campaign like that. It might be different, but you're talking about a beer that blue collar rednecks drink. You know, that's your bread and butter of that audience. Yeah. That's who it is.
You know, your Lone Stars and your Shiners were smiling bright.
Yeah,
they were like, oh, thank God.
Well, right now. Men who aren't comfortable with their sexuality aren't drinking Bud Lights in front of their friends because they're afraid of the jokes that are happening. Yeah. I mean, I don't really care. I don't drink beer anyway, but I would drink it regardless of whatever in front of whoever because I'm not drinking beer for politics. I'm drinking beer to get drunk.
Well, even when I drank beer, I didn't drink Bud Light necessarily. I just didn't like it that much. You know? I didn't think it was that great.
I drank cheap beer. I mean, I'm not gonna say.
I would drink cheap beer. I just didn't drink Bud Light.
Oh, Bud Light.
I just didn't like it.
Well, as long as you're not drinking Old Milwaukee.
No Old Milwaukee for
That's
me.
That's my dad's beer choice. He likes Old Milwaukee.
There was a lot of Lone Star and things like that.
Lone Star's not too bad. I never really understood the Pabst Blue Ribbon thing. I really didn't like Pabst that much.
Pabst is fine. It's fine. I don't know. At a certain point, beer tastes like beer unless you're drinking like a dark or a whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Never tried an Alamo.
Don't
know.
No. Yeah. We'll never know.
Hey, if you haven't gotten a chance, go watch our episode from Monday. And I do say watch, not listen.
Yeah, watch. We've got a watch episode.
Yeah, the first time we're on video. If that doesn't scare you away, then buckle in for the rest of the ride.
Yeah, so whether you like it or not, that's how Monday is going to be consumed. And if we have anything like super special on Fridays, we'll do Friday too on a video.
Well, it'll still be, you know, the same old show that you're used to.
Yeah.
It's just there's one more way to consume it if you want to.
And you'll be able to see us if that's how you choose to consume it. If you want to look at me and Mike while we're talking, which that happens to be a very voyeur exhibitionist like exchange that's pretty popular on the internet, you know, the old YouTubes.
We need to get somebody in here with a trumpet to play Feels So Good for us one time.
I could talk to my little brother.
Yeah.
My little brother played in college and everything. Like he used to play for the MCC.
We need somebody. We need somebody to play Feels So Good.
I need to see if he could even do that anymore. And if not, my son plays clarinet.
Yeah.
By the time we finish this show, he'll be at a good enough point to where he probably could feel so good.
I've got a year or two here in town named Saxy Gerald. He plays a saxophone. I'm assuming we could get
like an ensemble of people to play Feel
be
So
very
Good.
Very nice. Yeah.
We're gonna be like the DJ Khaled of jazz in Waco. Another one.
Just right in the middle of it.
What is it good for? Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for sticking with us. Yeah. Rusty, you want to tell them where they can find us?
Yeah, you can find us at BWAAKOTH on a lot of different stuff. Specifically, please go to our YouTube. Go over there, subscribe. We've got like 56 subscribers. I'm in the middle of still uploading our back content. So anybody that listens to this episode, because season four from now on, I'm putting it all straight up there from season four. So season two and three, I still have to get uploaded into it. But bear with me. It's www.youtube.com/@BWAAKOTH. You could also go to linktr.ee/BWAAKOTH and all that stuff's there nice and pretty for you. But yeah, go check out our YouTube. You know, throw some comments on there. So throw some suggestions. You know, throw some hate on there. Whatever you got to do to make yourself feel better in life.
Yeah, we'll take anything you got.
I'll take anything you got. I love it. Also, shout out to, there was a guy on our Instagram that reached out.
Yeah.
I hadn't had anybody really say anything a while on there, but he left a nice little note for me.
Well, you know, you saying that has reminded me that there's an email too. I tell you what, let's do this. Next Friday, what we'll do is we'll hit up the Instagram comments and any emails we've gotten and stuff like that. So next Friday will be a fan-based
episode. Yeah. So get them in. If you want us to
get them in.
If you want us to talk about you or talk about something you got to say about King of the Hill, get them in. All social media is open. Twitter, Instagram, all that. Yeah, so just go message us.
Go now. Do it now. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Also, go over to roguemedianetwork.com and check out a whole host of other podcasts. We got a whole range of stuff for
There's
you to
go check
There's
a bunch and a lot coming.
A lot coming.
Yeah, a lot of new stuff coming. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Women's on you.
Indeed. This has been a Rogue Media Network production.